So it was when I really started exercising about a year ago that I realized I don't drink near enough water. There were a couple of days where I got pretty lightheaded and realized I don't remember the last time I had something other than coffee today. And so I ended up with this like big gallon water jug, courtesy of a friend, and it's marked about every 2 hours how much water I'm supposed to drink. It's essentially idiot-proof, which is good for me, because then I know, okay, I need to stay on top of being hydrated, right? They say that as soon as you feel thirsty, you are already behind in hydrating yourself. So it looks a little odd. Sometimes you'll see me walking around with this monstrous kind of jug of water. I've even run into the Archbishop before with this, and he just sort of looked at it. He goes, "Do you drink all of that?" "Yes, that's the goal. I need to stay hydrated." I don't think I've convinced him. He just kind of gave me this strange look, but it is what it is. But that idea of staying hydrated, right? We have the gospel and the first reading today that speak about water and our relationship to it, and there's actually a really beautiful parallel between natural life and supernatural life here. Sure, there's nothing that quenches our thirst quite like a glass of cold water when we're really thirsty. But actually, for our health, we probably shouldn't get to the place where we're really thirsty. It's that continual, deliberate attention to remaining hydrated that keeps us feeling good and able to do what God made our bodies to do. In the spiritual life, we sometimes go, "Gosh, I wish I just had some huge experience of God's grace." I've seen a lot of people make a lot out of the revival that's been going on for however many days at that one college campus. People going, even within the Catholic Church, "Gosh, I wish that would happen here," as if God's grace is somehow lacking because there isn't this obvious thirst-quenching kind of moment. But I think that's to misunderstand what God's desire for our spiritual life actually is. It isn't to go from one hit of good feeling to another and in the middle to experience this valley where we're just bone dry. I think part of the reason that we experience spiritual thirst as Catholics is because we aren't attentive to the many, many ways that God gives us to remain hydrated, to remain with Him present in our hearts. If we look at how God worked with His people millennia ago, in the beginning, God did not wind the universe up and then set it into motion. He comes and is with Adam and Eve at the breezy time of the day, as the scripture says. He's in friendship with them, present with them continually. When God liberates Israel from Egypt, He doesn't stay in Egypt and watch them walk off into the desert going, "All right, good luck, I'll see you when you get to the promised land." He continues traveling with them, so much so that He instructs them to build what we call the tabernacle, so that they might know God is present here. He's with us. He continues to send prophets for a great length of time. He stays present in the Holy of Holies in the temple. He doesn't leave His people alone to die of thirst. It's even in the life of the church after Jesus dies, rises, ascends to heaven, pours out the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, that we see even more deeply how God seeks to quench our thirst, not just once, but to keep us continually filled with His life. We don't have just one huge moment of spiritual grace. Rather, we're baptized, and then we're fully initiated when we receive Holy Communion. And yes, our baptism is brought to its completion in confirmation, but it's the continual reception of Holy Communion, of that union with Jesus, that gives us the grace to fulfill our baptismal promises, to lay hold of our baptismal inheritance. And so, reconciliation is that admission that I've tried to provide for myself, much like this woman has attempted to provide for herself, going from husband to husband and living with someone who isn't her husband. But that isn't just her personal sin. There's a beautiful parallel that there are five nations that have conquered or oppressed, controlled Israel, and the sixth is Rome. Jesus is linking her story with the story of all of his people and revealing that whether it is personal sin or it is the forces of darkness and oppression and evil, he comes to liberate us from that and to provide where we ourselves cannot or where those forces are desolating us and failing us. And so what God reveals is that his preference is, as it always has been, to work in humility, in quietness, but continually, consistently, remaining present to us moment by moment. So if we are thirsty, it's because we're the horse that's been led to water but hasn't taken a drink, which, by the way, that phrase comes from St. Jerome, as far as anybody can tell. So, again, it has some bearing on the spiritual life. God gives us all of these opportunities, but do we make use of them? So, we have the Word of God and Sacred Scripture. Do we regularly allow the Word to touch us? I recommend, you know, taking the Sunday Gospel and spending the whole week going back to it, allowing God to speak to us through a single line, a passage, an image. That's how we learn to hear God's voice and to let that living water well up within us. Do we take time, 15, 20 minutes, just to share our heart with the Lord? It frees us from that temptation to try and provide for ourselves because we feel like we're alone and no one cares. When we come to Mass, do we come with the disposition that we're ready to receive whatever it is God desires to give? And that doesn't mean that we have to have perfect attention, to never get distracted, to not be occupied with our kids, to not be worried about what's going on outside of Mass. No, it's coming with the disposition saying, God, I know that you are here, and that you can provide that living water even in my need, in my poverty. And we see then something magnificent. Right? We've gone from God walking with Adam and Eve in the breezy time of the day to God journeying in the tabernacle. There's a cloud of fire with Israel, remaining in the Holy of Holies, being present in the tabernacle, to not being bound by any place to be present. Right? You will not worship on this mountain or in Jerusalem, but in spirit and in truth. When we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, it is as St. Paul said a few weeks ago, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are living tabernacles that take the presence of God, the presence of Jesus Christ, the living water, into a desert that is our world. And we ourselves are not exhausted providing water because it's not ours. We're sharing the living water that flows from us. But it begins by rightly understanding how Jesus desires to hydrate us. So perhaps we can let go of that seeking for those giant moments that quench our thirst, because that means we've let ourselves get dehydrated. And instead focus our hearts on that seemingly smaller, occasionally less overtly impactful moments of coming to our Lord to be refreshed. Because he doesn't keep his grace just for a select few moments, always makes it available. And in that, we find the grace to continue to journey through this life to him, and to be, as this woman was, a great evangelist, inviting others to come and see the one who quenches our thirst.